All right, we're live. I'll see if I can get anyone in here. I'll give people a few minutes. So I'm just going to read the Bible. It's pretty late. I don't know who is who's going to show up. But I'm just going to read the Bible. I want to read Psalm 37, and I also want to I'm kind of still beta testing this Streamlabs app, and I want to see how well it works. Last time I tried a second stream, the internet connection was really bad. So I just want to see I want to get in the right spot with this Streamlabs thing. So I want to see the chat too. I can't see who's here. So let me know if you're here. So let me know if the connection is good and if this stream looks good. And otherwise, I'm just going to read the Bible. I'm going to read Psalm 37 because it's such an encouraging chapter in these strange times. Because it's very, one thing the Bible I love that the Bible emphasizes that the wicked will be cut off, and it tells us the end of the wicked. It tells us what's going to happen to these people. And the reason I'm thankful for that is because we live in such a fallen, evil world that if the Bible didn't tell me these things, that it was a we're in a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I wonder if I have the chat on. I might not even have the chat on. I don't know. I'm sorry if I don't. But it's important to understand that there's not much preaching in a lot of Baptist churches. In some Baptist churches, they don't preach against the wicked. And that's why I love, preachers, for example, like Pastor Anderson, Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Dave Berzins, and like-minded pastors like that, because this is a doctrine they emphasize. And when you don't emphasize and teach your people the doctrine of the wicked in the Bible and their end, people can get very discouraged. There's a reason these scriptures are in the Bible. Think about a person who doesn't know the Bible, doesn't know the end of the devil, doesn't know the end of, at the end of the wicked. Evildoers shall be cut off. The arms of the wicked shall be broken. There's all these scriptures that, like, there's a dichotomy in the Bible of, it's like, well, the righteous, this is the case with him, but the wicked, this is his end, and this is what's going to happen with him. And if I didn't know what the Bible said about the end of the wicked, I might get very discouraged because there's so much evil. And it's even like, there's also in different Psalms, and Job talks about how, like, the wicked, we see them prosper. And he says in Psalms 37, he says, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading themselves like a green bay tree. And then he says he basically passed away and he was not. You can't tell all the time that the wicked are going to be judged because they seem to prosper. I'm going to read Psalm 37. See, I'm sorry. It's like I said, I'm trying to work out the kinks, and apparently I don't have the chat on because I assume that somebody would have said something and answered my questions about if the stream is any good. So I'm going to read Psalm 37. So if you want to end your night with me reading the book of Psalms, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to talk about it a little. And I see no option to turn the chat on, so that's my problem. No, hold on one second. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with the chat. If nobody's chatting, or if I don't know what the deal is. But I'm going to read Psalm 37. The Bible says in Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. This is an important doctrine. I mean, because doesn't human nature tell you to, when you're not some evil reprobate, or doesn't your heart tell you, like, doesn't it tend to fret against evildoers? Don't you just tend to just hate on the wicked and let them kind of eat you up sometimes when you see what's going on in the world? But the Bible, there's a Bible doctrine that says not to do that. It's not good for you to harbor that. But the reason he says we don't have to fret ourselves is in verse 2. He says, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. This is so important to teach and preach. You know, the Bible tells us not to fret because of the wicked. And then he tells us, look, they're going to be cut. He gets pretty graphic how their arms are going to be broken. Their bows are going to enter into their own heart. But then basically, you know, you start preaching against the wicked and teaching this doctrine or talking about it and rejoicing in the judgment of the wicked, and Christians will condemn you today. But this is something the Bible emphasizes, and for a good reason, because unless you have some heart of stone, unless you're completely apathetic, you will tend to fret yourself when you see the evil going on in the world. Look, I am regularly agitated, you know, when I think about, you know, the abortion, the queerdom, you know, the things that my country and my countrymen are responsible for, my government's responsible for, the sins of my country, you know, the debt and the sinful heritage that they're leaving my children, that, you know, basically the boomer generation, they're just going to die off. And then I'm left, you know, me and my kids are left with this huge national debt. We're going to be left to see the nation get judged for all these sins, for all its violence, for all its corruption, for everything the Bible says nations are judged for. But if you don't know that the Bible says the end of the wicked is a certain way, it's easy to fret yourself. And more preachers should preach about the doctrine of the wicked, the workers of iniquity. You know why? Like, because a lot of Christians don't. Once you understand the doctrine of what a reprobate is, or the doctrine of the wicked, or the doctrine of the workers of iniquity in the Bible, things make sense. And you say, wow, you know what? Okay, God uses harsh words about the wicked. Therefore, God has imprecatory prayers in the Bible against the wicked. He has harsh words for them. Therefore, you know, I'm thankful that God's going to deal with it. But if you don't know these scriptures and you never hear them preached, you might never know that God is actually going to deal with it. And that can be upsetting. It can be depressing. You know, you hear people just talk about, you know, how do you think people feel who have common sense? They hear all these preachers talking about love, 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 love. You know, like every, you know, it's like every sermon 3 times a week, it's on love and grace, but they're never touching these glaring problems that everybody knows we face in reality. Like, they're not touching these things. They're not preaching, but like, okay, but you know, the grace of God is great, but why is our world so fallen and wicked? Why are people so capable of such evil, wicked things? Well, that's because you know, they have, once they learn the reprobate doctrine and the doctrine of the wicked, and how the Bible says, you know, the Bible says that God hates the wicked. The Bible says that the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. And that calms my heart. That gives me peace, knowing God's judgments on the wicked. If I didn't know these things, I wouldn't have peace. But anyway, he says in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. And I hope this stream is going well. It's like I'm trying to get a gauge on, get a feel for like the connection in this app that I'm using, if I can even use it on my phone. But unfortunately, the chat is turned off right now, so no one is able to tell me. So sorry, I didn't turn the chat on. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, he says in verse 10. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. This needs to be preached in churches so people know that, don't worry, the wicked, God is going to break the wicked's arms. That's why you do not have to fret yourself in any wise to to do evil. Their sword will enter into their own heart. Their bows will be broken. And I wish more preachers would tell us the end of the wicked. They'd preach sermons on the wicked, how wicked they really are, what the Bible actually teaches about how depraved men can get. And, you know, the fact that these aren't just, you know, it's not just like this unnuanced, just big, you know, floating orb of love, just, you know, with no, you know, you just love everybody, blind love. The Bible is a lot more balanced and detailed and nuanced than that. The wicked have drawn out the sword. He says, and I'm going to go to verse 16. He says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. I love Psalm 37. It's my favorite psalm right now. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. I just love the dichotomy that David's teaching us about. You know, he's just laying out just such a clear vision for us. Like, hey, like, this is the case of the righteous, and this is the case of the wicked. It's like the dichotomy of the righteous and the wicked. And, you know, basically, you know, which way do you want to go? But it's just also such beautiful poetry. It's just such beautiful literature. Just this pattern and this dichotomy of David going back and forth between the nature of the righteous and the nature of the wicked, and, you know, the end of the righteous and the end of the wicked. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. Such a short, beautiful, concise verse in the Bible that you could just like memorize that in about 2 seconds and carry it around with you everywhere, and just, you know, it's a great verse. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. The Bible is great. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Oh, what does it say here if you actually read the Bible? Oh, the Lord loveth judgment. Okay, yeah, if you actually read the Bible, the Lord is constantly loves judgment and commands you to judge, but not at your average liberal evangelical church. They'll basically tell you that God hates judgment and that you should never judge. You should reserve judgment for basically never. You should never judge a thing as a Christian. Yeah, that, what a convenient doctrine for the devil. Convince Christians like that a Christian's judgment, that's like a huge tool and weapon, according to the Bible. Like a Christian's judgment, because you have the Bible to judge by. So obviously, it's not my judgments, if I'm judging correctly, it's the Bible's. Oh, but of course, the devil just wants to take this out of your hand, and he wants you to think that you can make no correct judgments, according to the Bible. The Bible is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. You can judge the world around you based on what the Bible says. Because the Bible says the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. What a great verse. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Again, that dichotomy of like, hey, the righteous, they won't be for, the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They're preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. They're done. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forevermore. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Huh. See, you know, like, you can just read the Bible and just put to bed so many false doctrines. If you just read the Bible, you know, even poorly, even badly, you just open up to any page of the Bible, and there's so many modern false doctrines that are just like eviscerated all the time. That's why we just need to know our Bible. Because the Bible says
The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. But nowadays, when you talk of judgment, if you want to talk of judgment, you want to talk of God's judgments, you want to have a serious conversation about what the law of God says about you know, crime and justice and crime and punishment in our society and law and order and even judgment in your own house when it comes to the roles of a man and a woman and a husband and a wife and a child and all the way up, you know, to government or and, you know, the homosexuals, abortion. You're often told that it's not your place to judge and that you're not allowed to judge. This is clearly unbiblical, and all you need to do is read one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible, which says that the righteous, his tongue talketh of judgment. So, you know, kind of just using common sense, I'd assume that people who refuse to judge and lack judgment and are scared of judgment, they're not exactly being righteous. So I'm more like, you know, to judge something just means to have an opinion. It just means to look at something and make a decision. And they basically want to stifle you and make you feel like that. So the Bible corroborates that natural inclination to make judgments. Why do people make judgments? How about to preserve your life? You know why I don't walk down into every dark alley, you know, in New York City? It's basically to preserve my life because I'm making a judgment call. You know why I pick one restaurant over the other? It's because I've made a judgment. I chose one to go with one review over the other. You know why I live in the house that I live in? You know why I drive the car that I drive? You know why I do what I do? It's because I've made judgment calls that those are the things that I'm going to do. And the Bible, and specifically when it comes to the law of God, and I look around what's going on in my own country, and you could just say, you know, The thoughts of many hearts are revealed. You know, when people are just like so adamantly staunch against the Bible and its judgments, I question their salvation. Because I might understand that you might have never been taught that homosexuality warrants the death penalty, or that adultery warrants the death penalty, or that abortion warrants the death penalty in the Bible. But when you see it in the Bible, you should receive it. But, you know, basically when you can show someone clear scripture, like, let me show you these judgments of the Lord, and they hate it, I question their salvation. And I question the salvation of queer bait Baptists and pedophile apologist Christians. So, you know, you basically, there's a swath of Christians who will basically condemn you for condemning pedophiles nowadays. So basically every normal person in the world knows that they know that homosexuals deserve the same penalty, the same judgment as well. But pedophiles in particular, even the world knows that they should be put to death. Like, and if you're a Christian, I hope you know that and understand that the Bible teaches that pedophiles should be put to death. You say, like, well, point to me the, you know, where does it say in Leviticus if you sleep with a minor? Okay, it's just read Leviticus 19 and 20. Read those chapters that they talk about the judgments for. And they detail the judgments for horrible, like, sexual sins, such as incest and stuff. It's covered in there. When you talk about somebody, like a father and their daughter, it's covered in that. But also Jesus taught it clearly in the New Testament explicitly, because he said, it's better for you if you offend. What do you think Jesus meant when he talked about offending one of these little ones? There's layers to the Bible, but one of the primary applications of that is about pedophiles. We're not misinterpreting the Bible. When we say, hey, Jesus said that pedophiles should tie a millstone around their neck and toss it into the sea, at the end of a rope that they toss into the sea, that's proper judgment. Because he's not just talking about, like, oh, if you teach him false doctrine, or you know, you lead him away from Christ, you discourage him from believing in Christ, it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck. Yeah, it's also talking about pedophiles who deserve to die. And I love that verse because Jesus said it. And I also love talking about God's judgments, because I want to be righteous and I want to speak wisdom and I want my tongue to talk of judgment. And because that's what the Bible says to do. So the Bible says the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. But you know, many Christians, the law of God is not, they don't love the law of God. They don't delight in his judgments. Look, I'll be very honest with you. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. And there are sins in the Bible that I've committed. Sins that when I read the judgments of make me very uncomfortable because I've committed those sins. I understand the judgment that I deserve. I understand the wages of sin is death. I know my nature and what kind of sinner I am and what I've done and stuff. And it makes me, you know, it's not always comfortable reading the Bible at a sin you've done and being, and you know, understanding, wow, that's what I deserve. That's my judgment. That's what I deserve. However, even though I have that feeling, at the same time, I love it. I love it. I will never condemn it. I'll never brush it off. You know, I love the word of God more than I love my, you know, trying to save my own face. Because, you know, a lot of times, basically, people who are, and wicked people will do this. They'll basically, when they find out you believe the Bible, they will like look, they'll look for things to call you out on it, to call you out, you know, to basically call you out on hypocrisy, or they'll basically want to highlight every way you're violating the Bible according to them, and they always want to use your faith against you, and they basically want to, you know, you say, hey, Jesus said this. This is the Bible's judgment on that, and they basically will gaslight you by telling you like, well, I saw you do this. Didn't you curse? Hey, weren't you the guy who did this back in high school? Didn't you get arrested for this back in the day? Didn't you do this, and that? Didn't I see you here? Or like, or they'll, you know, whatever it is. It's because they don't want to deal with what the Bible actually says. You know, it's like the Pharisees when Jesus came and preached to them, they had no more cloak for their sin. When you don't have, when you don't believe the Bible, you know, yeah, you have your conscience, and you're, when you're not saved, you have your conscience. But you know what? You can justify sin any way that you want because you can delude yourself any way you want. When you're a Christian, you don't delude, you can't delude yourself any way you want because you have the Holy Spirit of in you, Holy Spirit in you, and there's no getting around your sin. So like when people call me out, when people will like say like, well, you did this sin. The Bible says that that's a sin. Or when basically I'm reading the Bible and it says you did this sin. You know, even though I don't like it, I want to, I consent to the fact that the Bible is right because I want to consent to the fact that the law is good. So like, even though I don't like the fact that the Bible points out my sin, or even if a person points out my sin, whether they're being, whether they're, they have good intentions, or, you know, because they're my friend, they're trying to reprove me, or someone like I just mentioned, that's basically just, they're trying to divert attention from what the Bible says. So they basically make it about you. And it's, you know, they use all these like ad hominem attacks and, you know, oh, well, you believe the Bible? You lied once. Oh, you believe the Bible? Oh, have you ever looked at a woman? Oh, you believe the, oh, you're going to quote Jesus? How dare you quote Jesus when you told me you had a fight with your parents? It's like people will do stuff like that. But, you know, when people do that as a Christian, you just have to be like, and if you're reading the Bible and they point out your sin, it's like, yeah, you know what? I sinned. But I still love the Bible's judgment. I'm not trying to run away from it. So even though it's uncomfortable to have your sin pointed out, I still love the judgments. Like there's some Bible verses that back in the day, unsaved Pete, you know, there are some pretty harsh judgments for me. According to the Bible, I deserve to be judged pretty harshly according to the law. But you know what? I still love those judgments though. I don't love the fact that I violated them, but I love them. And I consent to the law that it's good. That's what Paul said. Verse 32 in Psalm 37, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. That's such an important verse also. I want to hear preaching that reminds me that when the wicked are cut off, I will see it. And you know what? It helps you. It helps me be patient. You know why I'm not going to go storm the Capitol? You know why I'm not going to, you know, like go in depth and study QAnon? You know why I'm not going down every conspiracy theory rabbit hole, or you know, like on the MAGA bandwagon and just like, you know, just hoping and wishing and like praying this Hail Mary prayer that somehow like a lot of MAGA people are saying, that Biden and Pelosi and Hunter Biden and all the New World Order shills and Satanists are going to be arrested, and that there's going to be a military coup. That's the word that's going around, that Trump is going to perform a military coup. There's going to be mass arrests of Democrats, and that Trump will remain the president. Well, I'm not trusting in that at all. And I don't believe that that's going to be the case at all. But you know, when people, when that doesn't come to pass, people are going to be very upset, and they're going to be very let down and hurt. And you know why people do cause, you know, they get into extremist causes, or they get into, like, it's because they're fretting themselves because of evildoers. Look, like a lot, like some of the most right-wing extreme people, I mean, like besides the Nazis and the skinheads and whatever, you know, I'm fairly right-wing, so that's why you don't get like much more right-wing than me. That's why I don't really get surprised by right-wing people. But I'm not a skinhead. I'm not a Nazi. I'm not racist. I don't believe in race. I just believe that I believe there's, you know, there's differences between the peoples. You know, let's be honest. The reason a lot of stereotypes have even, you know, come into our vernacular, that they're even expressed, is because it's just human beings, you know, working out and talking about clear differences that everybody sees in different people groups. But you know, it's that's because there's different families of the earth. There's different nations. You know, there's different, but we're all of one blood, and it's all we're all essentially the same. Even though I might have, you know, my ancestors are whiter, and I grew up in, you know, and I live in North America, and other people, you know, they live in Africa. We look a lot different. But, you know, we all go back to the same, you know, we all go back to Noah, and before that, we all go back to Adam. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. So I always think of Job whenever the Bible says here, behold, mark the perfect man. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright. I always think of Job and how it's good to go back and like think of all the godly characteristics of Job, because the Bible says mark the perfect man. So we can mark him. You know, I know one perfect man that I know that I can mark. It's Job in the Bible. I don't know if I really know any perfect men. I know some really good Christians. You know, perfect meaning complete, or you know, there's all the areas, all the responsibilities and areas of life are you know, they have everything well managed, and they're godly, temperate people. The Bible says to mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. So, well, if we want the same end, comparing scripture with scripture, we can go look at Job, who the Bible says was perfect, and he was a perfect man. He was the best man of his generation. But the transgressors, see, I love this. It's so good. It's so important. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now, a lot of preachers try really hard to encourage people with their sermons, like every week, like every week, Sunday morning, it's like an encouraging sermon. And it's like self-defeating, because when you when every week you're preaching an encouraging message, it's bland and dry, and there's no more encouragement, because you know, you don't, you know, Christians aren't little children. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't just need to be constantly spoon-fed morale, you know, good morale. You know, it doesn't matter how encouraged somebody is if they don't know the Bible. You know, so you can come to church every week and be encouraged with a great sermon. You're down in the dumps and the sermon lifts you up. But you know, you're just gonna end up down in the dumps if you're ignorant of, you're gonna end up down in the dumps again if you're ignorant of the Word of God, and you're not hearing preaching about doctrine, how to get sin out of your life, and all these deep doctrines, all everything the Bible teaches. Because, I mean, to me, it makes sense that, you know, your quality of life is better when you know the Bible and its judgments and you start to apply it. But, you know, when it comes to encouragement, like, this is so encouraging. Psalm 37, it's so encouraging to know that God is making a clear distinction between the righteous and the wicked, and that he reminds us all we have to do is wait, be patient, wait on the Lord, serve the Lord, delight ourselves in the Lord, and just to remember, he's constantly reminding us that the wicked will be cut off. Look, Joe Biden, look, yet a little while and Joe Biden shall not be. And we're going to diligently consider his place and it shall not be. Because he's already got one foot in the grave. He's probably going to die in the Oval Office. He's probably going to die tonight, you know, in his sleep. But these people don't have much time. And think about it this way, like, we could potentially be like less than a decade away from Christ's coming. I mean, we could potentially be like 5 years from Christ's coming. We don't really know. It'd probably be longer than that, I think. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know. Like, I don't have like this. Well, based on the signs of the times, I think it's approximately 5 years. I think really nobody knows. And you know what? History comes and goes in cycles, and this isn't necessarily the end times just because of the Capitol Boogaloo. But this has been a pretty long stream. Maybe you, hopefully you guys left me some comments. You could tell me how this stream was and like the you know, the connection and whatnot. I hope you guys had a great Sunday. I just read Psalm 37. So I just did some late night Bible reading on this stream, and I'm gonna go now check the quality of the stream and how it looked. And unfortunately, I wanted to move this over to my MacBook. I have to put a new hard drive in my MacBook, but now unfortunately, the whole MacBook's not working. Like my MacBook's not even working. I can't even turn it on. It won't charge. So I was excited to start using Streamlabs, you know, instead of streaming from my phone, which I'm doing it right now, just stream on my MacBook, but that's not happening right now. Hopefully it will soon. And I'll try to get some good topics to live stream if I continue. Thank you for sticking with me with this beta test. And remember that the arms of the wicked shall be broken and the righteous shall inherit the land. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they don't have much time. They're on borrowed time, the wicked. You know, all of these New World Order shills, remember, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. I love God for laughing at the wicked. Thank you, God, for laughing at the wicked, because I want to laugh at them too. I also have a strong sense and inclination, and just my nature tells me that I should also hate the wicked and laugh at their calamity. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you also think the same thing, and that you basically corroborate that nature in somebody. Let me get back to, sorry about my rabbit trails. The thing about the pedophiles, everybody knows that pedophiles deserve to be put to death. You go on go read a news article about a pedophile that just got arrested. Every single comment from every worldly unsaved person, it's kill him, hang him, torch him, set him on fire. Chop off his this and that and mutilate him. Like those are the comments, 99%. And you'll have one bleeding heart, like, oh, you know, you guys are, you know, pray for him or whatever. That's not the majority. Majority of people hate pedophiles. But now you'll have Christians who, you know, who will condemn those who are condemning pedophiles and perverts. It's such a strange time. And my personal conviction on this, my personal stance is if somebody is being a pedophile apologist or a sodomite apologist, a professing Christian is being a pedophile apologist, anybody, but especially a Christian, if you're being a pedophile apologist, that means if you're telling me that I'm wrong to believe they should be executed, you know, you're defending their honor, you know, you believe you're defending Jeffrey Dahmer's salvation and Ted Bundy's salvation, and you're sticking up for these guys, and you know, oh, the love of God and this and that. Totally just detached from reality. No understanding of you know, the psychology of a reprobate, or what these horrible psychopaths are like, how malignant and malicious they are, the things that these people do. You know, the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. There are some incredibly cruel things that go on in this world. There are, you know, Pedophilia is like the darkest, most destructive, satanic, repugnant, vomit-inducing activity that exists. That and you'll basically have and the Bible's really clear about what's going to happen to those people. They're going to burn in the lowest hell. But you have Christians who defend them and say that you should love them and show them the love of Christ. They don't love judgment and they don't know the Bible because the Bible says they should be put to death and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. And I'm right to rejoice with God over the destruction of the wicked. And that gives me peace. And that gives me a clear direction. I don't have to storm the Capitol and wonder if my only hope is Donald Trump. No, because the Bible says to wait on the Lord. The Bible says he'll exalt us to inherit the land, and it doesn't have anything to do with MAGA. All right, guys. God bless you all. Have a good night.